I know that Michael already prayed a prayer for the president, but I'd like to say another one if we'll bow together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time and opportunity we have to study a portion of your word. We pray that you would be with us in this study this morning, that each of us will glean something from thy word that we can apply to our lives. We want to pray a special prayer to Father for our president, President Trump, and Melania, his wife, that they might get over with this COVID virus quickly and that it might not affect their lives. We pray to Heavenly Father also for a former member here, Don Geis, who has come down with the COVID virus as well, that you would be with him as he goes through this time of quarantine and be with his family as well. Be with us in our lives, dear Father. Help us to always keep our eyes on Jesus and the life he lived. And we pray forgiveness for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Throughout the Old Testament, God showed himself through many miracles and the power that he has. We remember in Egypt, the 10 plagues, that God judged all the 10 gods of Egypt by sending specific plagues. And Pharaoh, as you know, heart was hardened and didn't pay attention to the miracles that God performed until the very last one, which was, of course, the firstborn in all of Egypt. We remember that once they were on the Exodus, the dividing of the Red Sea. They were caught against the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were behind them, chasing after them. And God provided a cloudy pillar by day and a fiery pillar by night to keep between the two of them. But the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because they were against the Red Sea. And of course, remember how God divided that Red Sea, and they walked on dry land. And then as they got across the Red Sea, the Egyptians tried to follow, and the Lord brought the water back upon them and drowned the Egyptians. We also remember that while they were in the wilderness, God provided them manna. It's often called the bread from heaven. The Bible also calls it angel food. And yet they continued to murmur because they had this bread from heaven to eat. And then, of course, they cried for meat, and God provided them quail to eat. All of these miracles were done for the children of Israel to show that God and his power, and the people witnessed all this power from God. And you know, today sometimes people will say, I wish I could just see a miracle that God performed. And I would believe. But I'm under the belief that man's no different now than he was back then. And all these people, there's some 600,000 men and women and children, probably over 1 million people, maybe even closer to 2 million people. And those people saw these miracles, and it didn't help their belief at all, because all of them, except for Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness after witnessing all this power that God demonstrated. Today, if a person witnessed a miracle, would it increase their faith? You know, the Bible doesn't say a miracle increased my faith. It said, hearing the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul taught on in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, which were miraculous, went away with the apostles. Christ, as we know, was able to perform all these miracles. And then he conveyed it over to the apostles. And the apostles were able to convey these miracles to the people that followed them. But the people that followed the apostles, that's where it stopped. So by the second century, there were no more miracles. So today, how does God interact with man? God interacts with man by his word, or through his word. When we read the Bible, we know it comes from God, and we are able to recognize our gifts from God. I want everybody this morning to take a deep breath right now. Wasn't that nice? Where'd that come from? Well, you know, as Christians, we know it came from God. But so many people take it for granted. You know, there are 7.8 billion people in the world. 7.8 billion. And every one of them are just like us. They're going to take about 15 to 30 breaths per minute. And every one of them are provided air to breathe. The next thing we need is water to drink. Now, I know not all countries have good, clean water, but in the United States, we've been blessed to have clean enough water. We just turn on the tap, and there it is. Water we need about every 3 to 4 days. And then, in America, we've been blessed with all the food that we can eat. I don't think Americans go hungry very often. I know that I've never missed a meal in my entire life unless I wanted to. I've never missed a meal out of need. So God knows what we need. He knows what we need every second, the breath of air, every 3 or 4 days, the water we drink, and then, of course, the food that we eat. Jesus tells us how closely God watches us in Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the earth without your God, your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Can you imagine that? 7.8 billion people, and God knows how many hairs on each one of them's head. That shows the power of God. So how does God work today? To notice the power of God, we're going to study about Joseph. Because when we talk about the providence of God, we're talking about how he blesses and guides without really having a miraculous way to show it. Miracles have ceased, therefore God works among all of us, and we all still have free mind to think and act the way we want to do, and God still works through all of that to accomplish his will and his way. We kind of see that in the study of Joseph. Starting in Genesis 37, we see Joseph's life affected by many reasons. First, Joseph experienced the love of parents. Joseph was loved by Jacob, his father, above all his other children because he was the son of Rachel, which is whom Jacob worked 7 years for, the wife. But she was not his first wife. Her sister Leah was. And Rachel had Joseph way back after all the other boys were born. Jacob loved Joseph most. He gave him a coat of many colors, as you remember. A coat of many colors was very expensive because you had to dye it numerous times. It was an expensive piece of clothing. Joseph also dreamed dreams at this time in his life. And he dreamed dreams about his brothers bowing down to him. And when he revealed those dreams to his brothers hated him. His brothers hated him so much that they couldn't even say a kind word to him. And then they planned to kill him, his own brothers. But the older brother, Reuben, talked them out of that and said, let's just put him down in a pit. And Reuben had planned to come afterwards and get him out of the pit and take him to his father. But the other boys put him down in the pit, and while Reuben wasn't there, they took him out of the pit and sold him to Ishmaelites. We see how God's working through the hate of the brothers. God wanted Joseph in Egypt, and he did so through the hate of his brothers. His brother hated him so much, they sold him as a slave. Joseph was 17 years old at this point in time of his life. And he was sold to a man named Potiphar. The boys, in order for their father to be not look for Joseph anymore, took his coat of many colors and they put blood on it and tore it some so that Jacob thought that his son Joseph was killed by an animal. God worked his will through blessings. Joseph travels to Egypt and is sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar is one of the officers of Pharaoh, a very, very important man. And in Genesis 39, verse 2, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. We don't know exactly how God prospered or blessed Joseph, but it was a noticeable blessing. You notice how Potiphar noticed that everything seemed to work out when Joseph touched it. In Genesis 39, verse 5, it said, with blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and also in the field. Maybe he was blessed with bumper crops. Maybe he was blessed with more animals. Maybe he was blessed in money dealings. Maybe he was blessed in trading. But whatever it was, Joseph was made second in command of Potiphar's house. Matter of fact, Potiphar didn't know where his next meal was coming from, except Joseph provided for it. So there was none more powerful in the house except Potiphar. Joseph had the free run of the house. He provided everything. Everything he touched seemed to prosper. And then we have trouble. I've labeled this, God works his will through lies and deceit of others. While Joseph was in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife started making advances to him. And it said that she pressed him daily. And Joseph is a young man, and you have to be impressed with his ability to resist this temptation. In Genesis 39:9, Joseph said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He wasn't worried for himself. He wasn't worried for Potiphar so much. He was worried that he would sin against God. And so because he resisted this temptation, Potiphar's wife lied about him and said that he made advances to her. Therefore, Potiphar, of course, being mad, threw him into prison. And this is the king's prison where the king's prisoners were bound. Genesis 39, verse 20, Joseph was in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prisons. We're not really told what Joseph's feelings were on these matters, but you can imagine going from second command in a very rich man's house to in prison was probably a blow to his ego. He was probably pretty down. But it said God showed him mercy and gave him favor. You see how God is working this? He's taking care of Joseph by showing favor to the keeper of the prison. And of course, the prison keeper made Joseph in command of the prison. There was not anything done to the prisoners or for the prisoners except Joseph did it. While he was in jail or in prison, Pharaoh locked up his butler and his baker. For some reason he was mad with them. And they were in there a season, which to me is a year. And each of them had a dream. And they were very sad because there was nobody to interpret the dream. And Joseph said, "Does not interpretation belong to God?" You notice how in all these instances that Joseph, when he is in charge of something, is always giving praise to God. When Mrs. Potiphar tempted him, he was worried about not being pleasing to God. When this butler and baker want an interpretation, he didn't say, "I'll do it." He said, "Doesn't it belong to God?" The butler told Joseph his dream, and Joseph told him he would be restored to Pharaoh's service. The baker told his dream, and Joseph told him Pharaoh would lift up his head and bring and bind him on a tree or hang him on a tree. The dreams of each man came true as Joseph had interpreted. The restored butler, though, forgot about Joseph. And Joseph stayed in the prison for 2 more years. This next section I've labeled as God's providence, or by God's providence, Joseph finds favor of Pharaoh. In Genesis 41, Pharaoh dreamed 2 dreams. Pharaoh was troubled by these dreams, and he called all his magicians and his wise men together to give him an interpretation. And none could interpret it into Pharaoh what his dream was about. Then the butler finally remembered Joseph. And he told Pharaoh about this young Hebrew that was able to interpret his dream, and his dream came true, both the butler and the baker. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph. None of his wise men could provide an answer. So this little Hebrew that's in prison, he sent for him. It talks about Joseph shaved himself and changed his raiment. I mean, being in prison, he probably wasn't real clean or anything. And it just kind of goes to show you, it's dressing up in front of the Pharaoh, the important man. And Pharaoh said, "I've heard that you understand and interpret dreams." And of course, what did Joseph say in Genesis 41:16? And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Joseph always gives credit where the credit should go to God. Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. And I've labeled this next part that God works through Pharaoh to bless Joseph, his brothers, his whole family. God showed through Joseph what was about to come to pass. The two dreams of Pharaoh were the same. They were telling of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. In Genesis 41, 29, and 30, Joseph told Pharaoh to look out for a man discreet and wise to collect 1/5 or 20% of the food in the good years so Egypt would have food in the lean years. Pharaoh decided who would be better than the person that was able to interpret the dreams. So he put Joseph in charge. And as we know, Joseph was second only to Pharaoh in command of all of Egypt. Joseph was about 30 years old at this point in time. And put in charge, he stored up all in the years of the plenty, 20%. And then the lean years came and his brothers started coming down because the whole world was in a famine. His brothers didn't recognize him at first. And he played a few little tricks on them about bringing Benjamin down because Benjamin didn't come with him. And Simeon was held captive until he came back. But basically, Joseph just wanted to bring his whole family down. He knew what was coming for the next 7 years, the famine. And you remember that his brothers came down for food and he put the food in their sacks and put the money back in there. And that really frightened them. Where did this money come from? And so they went down a second time, much later, and took Benjamin with them and the same thing happened. He filled all their sacks with food and then put the money back. And also his cup, his silver cup, he put in Benjamin's bag. And so when all the brothers were on the way, they noticed that they were sent, Joseph sent his soldiers out to get his cup back or his divining cup. And they hid it in Benjamin's sack. So Benjamin's the one they're going to blame and keep him down in Egypt. And so his brothers were very sorry and all volunteered, you know, to be the one being held. And that the old man, their old father, Jacob, would be sorrowed to the grave if it wasn't for Benjamin coming back. So as we know, Jacob or Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And they were frightened. Their guilty conscience had convicted them of what they had done to their brother. And through all this, some 30, 40 years, Joseph didn't hold a grudge of any kind against his brothers. As a matter of fact, they thought that he was only being nice because of his father. When his father passed away in Genesis 50, verses 20 and 21, Joseph said to his brothers, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God heard it, or God meant it unto good, to bring to pass his, as it is this day, to save much people alive." What a forgiving statement. His brothers thought that he would throw him into prison, and yet he said, you thought it evil to do this unto me, but God turned it into good. You can see in Joseph's life the ups and downs. God was blessing Joseph all the way. When he was down, he made it prosper. He made him to prosper in front of other people. Other people could see these blessings. It was not a miracle, but God working through man to accomplish his will. This is what we call the providence of God, God working things out. God guiding people to his will for Joseph. God guiding people to make his will for Joseph came to pass. You know, today an example probably would be of God's providence. If you went out here today and had a flat tire on your car, you go, oh. And a bunch of people from service here, get up, go out and help you change your tire. Makes you 15, 20 minutes late. And you jump in your car and you go your regular route home and you find out that the tractor trailer truck, about the time you had your flat, ran through a red light. Now, we don't know that God did this, but you aren't killed at that wreck that happened. And you know, a lot of people talk about an infant kill. Why would that infant die? You know, God might have been merciful to the parents, good Christian parents, and that child might have been, at God's knowledge, turned into an addict or something and put a horrible curse on their family. And maybe a temptation they couldn't go through. You know, we don't think about things like that. So why did God do that instead of it's a blessing that he did? We don't know why he does things. But we know that he works through man to accomplish his will, and that's what we need to know. To go over the points, God blessed Joseph through love of parents. God worked through his brother's hate to bring him down to Egypt. God worked his will through blessings. He blessed Potiphar's house in order for Joseph to rise up in that home. God worked his will through lies and deceit of others. God worked for Joseph's good in prison. And God worked through Pharaoh to bless Joseph, his brothers, and his whole family. And finally, his brothers' hate was turned into joy. If we have any this morning, have you decided where you want to spend eternity? Most of us are Christians in here. But we have to constantly be reminded of this. It's a daily thing, a daily battle. We have to always keep our minds on Christ and always know that the things that work in our life are working for our good. Romans 8:28. For those that aren't a Christian, there was a pattern in the first century of hearing God's word and believing it. Romans 10:17, that produces our faith. So then faith cometh by hearing. We believe, John 8:24, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We repent of our sins. Repent, turning around, 180 turn. Not serving ourselves anymore, but serving God. We confess the name of Christ, Matthew 10:32. And we're baptized in water for remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. But then, after all these, we live faithfully. We examine our lives daily to make sure we're following God. If you have a need to come this morning, let's do that as we stand and sing.